Good morning, everybody. So our reading this morning is John chapter 14, starting at verse 15 and going up to verse 24. And Jesus is speaking here, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Amen. Shall we pray? Lord God, I pray now that the words I speak will be your words, and that you will use these words and my weakness for your glory. Amen. The title of my talk today is Our True Heavenly Home. I was inspired to speak on this subject by a dream I had a few weeks ago. I dreamt that I was back in the lovely country cottage in Sussex where I grew up, and that I was going to lose that home. I was going to lose that beautiful, idyllic home in that beautiful green verdant countryside surrounded by fields and woodlands. It was a bad dream. It was a nightmare. I was going to lose my home. It made me think about the incredibly strong feelings we can have about our home. Home is a really powerful force, a really powerful idea. So I've made a little PowerPoint here, and there are some pictures up here of not that Sussex countryside, but my mother's home, which was on the island of Jersey in the Channel Islands, a real postcard place. You can see that beautiful beach there, and then just the smaller picture there of the very grand house that the family had in the 1950s overlooking St. Brelard's Bay, which is one of the more beautiful sandy beaches in Jersey. So my first point, Pari, if you could move the click, there's no place like home. So to my mother, the term heavenly home might have described that place where she grew up. As I say, Jersey in the Channel Islands. Like many of her generation and social set, she often used the word heavenly to describe something lovely, something beautiful, something wonderful, something that had a very special place in her heart. And she would certainly describe Jersey as heavenly. On a warm summer's day, there are a few nicer places in this world than the unspoilt sandy beach at Beauport, in that picture there, where you can swim or climb about on the rocks. It was so special to my mother when she was a little girl that the family, she lived with her grandparents, They renamed that bay after her nickname. She was called as a little girl Pinkle. And they called it Pinkle Bay because it was her special place. And then there's the neighbouring cove, as I mentioned, St. Brelard's, where the family lived in the 1950s in this very, very grand-looking house overlooking the bay. And my parents were married in the church just over the road from that house, a beautiful old stone, granite stone church. And I was christened in the little chapel, the Fisherman's Chapel, next door, which is 1,000 years old. And my grandfather was the church warden at that church. And where my grandparents and great-grandparents are buried is the cemetery just above that churchyard, in a beautiful, well-kept cemetery overlooking that beautiful beach of St. Brelard's. To my family and to my mother in particular, Jersey is a heavenly home and evokes very strong feelings or yearnings, particularly since the family moved away from the island. For my part, having grown up in a beautiful 200-year-old cottage in Sussex, I would dearly love to return to that place in Sussex that I grew up in, or to Jersey, to experience again the heavenly August days of beach holidays and of bicycle rides down country lanes. And although we may have very different experiences of home in this congregation, I suspect that many of us in this city of people on the move would think of home as the very best of places that we would love to go back to one day, perhaps when we retire or to be buried when we die. Pastor Ray has mentioned already about Africa. I didn't see a tear coming to your eye, Ray, but I know the strong feelings, and I can see around the church this morning others, friends who have come from different parts of the world who have very, very strong feelings about those places that they would call home, back home. And popular culture is full of references to the joy of returning home. I'm sure you're familiar with The Wizard of Oz. Dorothy, young girl with her little dog, is blown away to the fantastic land of Oz by a tornado. And after many adventures, she's able to get back home to Kansas by closing her eyes, tapping the heels of her shoes together and repeating the words, "There's no place like home." And I don't know about you, but tears come to my eyes at that part of the film. And there are lots of popular songs too about returning home. You might know Homeward Bound by Simon and Garfunkel, or Take Me Home Country Road by John Denver, Sweet Home Alabama, Kanye West's song Homecoming, or even Our House by Madness. So many songs about going home and the joy of going home. And in the animal kingdom, fish and birds make astonishing journeys over thousands of miles to return to where they came from for a particular season, to feed or to breed and then to die in the case of the salmon. People have used this homing instinct for sport, competing to own the pigeon able to return home the quickest from a distant place. Wanting to return home to that familiar, safe, secure, comfortable place seems to be in our makeup. There's even a term for it when that feeling becomes extreme: homesickness. And another term that describes being without a permanent home, a very sad condition indeed. The term is homeless, which is my second point. You can feel homeless when you're not in the place you really consider your home, too. Okay, I have a roof over my head, a decent house. I live in one of the richest cities in the world, a place where we can enjoy great freedoms and advantages. I'm not really homeless, like many in our community are, sleeping rough in doorways and subways. Perhaps my condition is better described as sometimes feeling like a stranger, a migrant, or even an orphan in this big city. Deep down in my heart, I have this feeling that I've been separated from my home. I have a yearning to go back and see the fields and the trees, the beautiful views. And I suspect many of you have similar feelings at times. But if we think about it more deeply, we realize that those idealized homes we dream of are not as perfect as we may think. Jersey is not just beaches and countryside, it's also a tax haven, a place where rich people can live so they pay less tax and don't have to answer too many questions about where their wealth came from. It's an exclusive, privileged place that most people cannot make their home because there are laws against it. And my home East Sussex is actually rather a dull monoculture place in the commuter belt, home to all kinds of strange attitudes, passive racism, xenophobia, and a difficult place to make a living that was partly responsible for my own family when they lived in Sussex from fracturing. There are reasons why we left those places. And when we realize this, we can feel still more disconnected and homeless. The Bible talks about feeling homeless. It's a regular theme in the Bible. The Jewish people were exiled from their homeland at different times in their history. There was a strong collective memory of home. In the early books of the Old Testament, we read how the people were enslaved in Egypt and finally brought home by Moses. Then centuries later, they were exiled in Babylon. We read in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 about Daniel's heroic efforts to maintain his connection with home, bowing down to pray towards Jerusalem instead of praying to the Babylonian king. Psalm 137 is a song about the people yearning for home. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. The words were so strong that they were used for a number one pop song by Boney M in the 1970s. And Jesus himself experienced life as a hunted refugee, as a child, when his family were forced to go to Egypt to escape Herod. Later, Jesus spoke about how he was not accepted in his hometown of Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. And the people even tried to throw him off a cliff. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus talks about having nowhere to lay his head. Jesus often strikes a solitary figure, going away by himself to pray, or when he is arrested, being abandoned and denied by his disciples. And when we consider our Christian calling, we can feel quite alone and cut off from our worldly home. In Matthew chapter 10 from verse 34, we read Jesus' words, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." In this passage, Jesus is conveying the tough message that God has to have first place in our lives, even above family and home. And that sometimes family can distract us from our Christian calling and become like enemies. He's not telling us to completely abandon our family. Jesus himself was a loving son. Even as he hung on the cross, we read how he cared for his own mother and asked his disciple John to take her into his home. The point he is making is that as Christians, we can feel cut off like orphans at times when we put God first in our lives. And Paul describes the situation of himself and his co-workers in similar terms to the Corinthians, who were a bit comfortable in their Christian living. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "To the present hour we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We've been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things, until now. So are we, like Jesus and like Paul and his co-workers, completely cut off, friendless, disconnected, and homeless." Which brings me to my last point. And the answer to that question is certainly not. God provides a true heavenly home for us with him. There's a beautiful passage in Hebrews 11 about God's provision of an eternal home for those faithful heroes of the Old Testament. From verse 13, we read, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their father, for he has prepared a city for them." And in Ephesians chapter 2, the passage about Christ being our cornerstone, we read how we are included in this promise. From verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." And again in John chapter 14, just before the passage we read earlier, we learn how we are to come to this true heavenly home. John chapter 14 from verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Just as Jesus led the way in suffering and isolation and homelessness, so he leads us to our true heavenly home. God took the initiative and has provided for us. As Pastor Ray was saying, illustrated so beautifully in the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. And as we sang earlier, "Goodness will lead me home." And that beautiful song we sang, "Calling, O sinner, come home." God has taken the initiative. He's calling us home. And coming back to those key verses in the passage we read at the beginning, verse 18 of John chapter 14, Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So the truth is that your real home, your true home, is where your heart is, not in some dimly remembered place that we've left behind for some reason, but with those you love most. And if we love Jesus above all, then our true heavenly home is with him. So to conclude, we may yearn to return to that idealized home that we left many years ago. We may have dreams about living there again or nightmares about losing that treasured place. We may even experience a kind of homesickness. We may feel like exiles, homeless, cut off. And when we realize that our worldly home is flawed and tarnished, we can feel still more disconnected. But when we realize that our love for God comes first, even above family and friends, and we need to be with him, then praise God, we have the promise that we are called back to a home far more beautiful than that most treasured place, that beautiful island, the picture postcard place with the blue sky, the beloved childhood house, the verdant green country by a sandy beach, far more wonderful than the most magnificent, the most vibrant, the most glorious city. That is our true heavenly home, where we will live forever with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus, our Lord, and with the saints. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you provide a home for us in the safest place, the most beautiful surroundings, where we may live with you. Help us as we put you first in our lives and seek to follow Jesus, our way, our truth, and our life to that true heavenly home. In his name we pray. Amen.